Hey there, stay tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 for 2.5 hours of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, with reports on new assaults on cannabis patients, the upcoming city council meeting on Tuesday, and a whole essentially important announcement from the Trust in Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz. Actually a long interview on a number of subjects with them. Civil rights for the poor here in Santa Cruz with Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, I think it's called. I'm your host. I'm Robert Norris. I'll be with you for the next 2.5 hours.
Rosenberg's H-bomb, Sugar Ray, Panmunjom, John Randall, the King and I, and the catcher in the rye, Eisenhower vaccine, England's got a new queen, Marciano, Liberace, Santayana, goodbye. We didn't start the fire, it was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire, no, we didn't light it, but we tried to light it. Joseph Stalin, Alan Carr, Nasser and Prokofiev, Rockefeller, Campanella, communist bloc, Roy Cohn, Juan Perón, Toscanini, Dacron, Dien Bien Phu Falls, rock around the clock, Einstein, James Dean, Brooklyn's got a winning team, Davy Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland, Bardo, Budapest, Alabama, Khrushchev, Princess Grace, Katie Grace, trouble in the Suez.
We didn't start the fire, it was always burning since the world's been turning.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and this is your twice-weekly dose of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, Civil Rights for the Poor, here in Santa Cruz and around the state. As I was mumbling before the theme song, We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel, we have numerous reports coming in. Particularly interesting is a long interview with Marco of Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, in which he talks about a number of upcoming and ongoing situations around tenants' rights with a lot of specifics, and that really is the heart of the situation for me, learning how tenants are being treated by landlords, even how small businesses who are tenants are being treated by landlords. So hopefully Marco should be in to talk about that subject sometime in the next half hour. We have lots of things happening. There was a benefit for the Beach Flats last night. There was a big brouhaha in the newspapers in the last couple of days about Karen Gillette's, what a surprise, she's back again as head of the Homeless Community Resource Center. She has rescinded her resignation under condition that she be given absolute control. I should say her board be given veto power over board members of the other board, Citizens Committee for the Homeless, that was going to merge with her board, that she doesn't like, which of course means the end of any criticism of Karen Gillette and at the board level. So it wasn't enough that Gillette got an offer to take the executive directorship even without any kind of open interviews of other people. No. Rather, she had to determine that no one on the board could criticize her and live. Well, kind of typical of Karen, given the way she's run the homeless services, the free meal, and the Homeless Community Resource Center for the last 7 or 8 years. And incidentally, I'm not suggesting Karen Gillette shouldn't have been a director of this. I just find these tactics of resigning and pressuring and then drawing in Scott Kennedy, who, by the way, that's the reason Kennedy was not on my last show. He was scheduled to debate here with Keith Sugar on issues of the Beach Flats and other matters concerning the failure of not progressive politics, but politicians who use the label progressive, like Kennedy and Rotkin and Matthews. He wasn't at our show because he said he He canceled for the third time because he had to go to the Homeless Community Resource Center, and essentially, I want to say he bullied the board into accepting all of Karen Gillette's demands. I wasn't at the board meeting. In fact, nobody was invited to the board meeting outside the board. That's one of the problems that we've had with the Homeless Community Resource Center's board meetings. They've all been closed. So the homeless client wants to get in there. He has to go past Karen Gillette and get her personal approval before he or she can get into that meeting. That's how it's been for the last two or three years. It officially became that way when she pressured her board to make that a rule in the spring of 1997, when I, simply as a matter of form, because I'm not really interested in her board meetings, but felt they should be open on principle, tried to get into the board meeting, tried to find out even when they were, tried to get a copy of the agenda. None of that stuff was forthcoming. Her compliant board, which essentially is a bunch of merchants, Donna Murillo, Linda Steinau, it's a downtown business association stacked board. Don Lane, former mayor, or Gon Lame, as I call him, who heads the ice cream shop downtown, and who once was a kind of a hope for homeless people. He's also one of the yes people on her board. He was the so-called negotiator who was trying to negotiate with me, and I said, you know, I'd be happy to talk to you, but it seems the issue is really clear. Open up your board meetings. And Karen Gillette and Don Lane and their board's response was, we're closing the board meetings. Now, when they had negotiations with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, one of the deals was they would have to open their board meetings. But if they can cut down and stack the boards, any such agreement could be eliminated once the new board meets. So it would be kind of a meaningless thing. Not that you're going to get too far even with open board meetings, but it seems kind of a primary democratic necessity to have that, particularly if you're claiming to serve homeless people without any homeless members on your board. Karen Gillette hasn't had a homeless member on her board for years. I think she called in that old warhorse from Wisconsin, Brian Koepke, who suddenly showed up in town. He was the only homeless board member for the first couple years of the board. He was a homeless activist who was active with all of us in creating the services that Karen now reigns over, but he kind of became a part of her machine eventually and hasn't been around lately. I don't know what he said or what he's doing, and I don't want to trash him without having him on the show and give his point of view. So Brian Koepke, if you're listening, please give a call, and anyone else, please give a call to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 423-5361. That's 423-5361 here in Santa Cruz. So I kind of strayed a bit there. Our main topic at the last show was the Beach Flats and the destruction of low-income housing there, the violation of process by the city council majority, intent on ramrodding through its own Seaside Company giveaway plan, which I guess there are only two more days till the environmental impact report, any input to that report closes down. You better, all you folks out there who have been following this issue, do get your letters in there. It's important, and perhaps I encourage anyone who has been following the Beach Flats to give me a call. The show is going to be kind of light on Beach Flats material today. We don't have any scheduled guests on Beach Flats. So if you want to call in and raise the issue on the phone, remind people of the addresses to write to for getting input into the environmental impact report, because while the city council can ignore you by law, apparently the environmental impact report folks have to respond to concerns about the Beach Flats, with what you know, creating huge new parking lots, high roller coasters, destroying housing would do to the physical environment of the Beach Flats and how it would affect it, and the kinds of concerns that people would have about that, which we've gone into at some length in the last couple of shows around that issue. We had Catherine Gunderson last time talking about it. Before that, we had Roxanne Akistapache. We've had Phil Baer on the air. We've had reports from Keith Sugar, who didn't actually do the debate last time as we'd hoped. His grandfather was in a crisis in the hospital, and of course, Scott Kennedy suddenly slipped out the back door to go back, you know, beat the drums for the Homeless Community Resource Center. So that didn't happen. But we have had some excerpts and some very good ones about the Beach Flats issue, and I invite folks to call in on that issue. Also, lots of things are happening elsewhere around the, even around the Bay Area. For those of you who've been looking at the headlines of the Monterey Peninsula Herald, 4 days running, and maybe five, I haven't checked today's paper, the Monterey County Herald has had above-the-fold stories about this killing by police of an elderly man on a rooftop with a diagnosis of schizophrenic, who apparently challenged the police with, get this, no, it wasn't a toy gun, no, it wasn't a baseball bat this time, it was a corkscrew. And there's really a lot of anger from the relatives of this man, and I guess they've actually gotten the a psychiatric agency to investigate, an advocacy group for people with mentally diagnosed so-called mental illness conditions, to actually talk to the police officers to open an investigation of the matter, which I think might be one approach that some of us concerned with the Happy John Dine case hadn't thought of, that we might actually get somewhere with. Along the lines of the Happy John case, I have some information on that, and I'm still looking for the tape, which we made earlier 2 or 3 days ago in the office of Citizens Police Review Board staff person Gary Yamane. I haven't been too happy with Gary for the last month and a half. Those of you who have been following the show regularly know the Citizens Police Review Board, of course, that's the body handpicked by the City Council, which has refused to hold any independent investigations or public hearings into anything throughout the life of its existence, even when fatal shootings have happened. And their findings usually jibe with the police department. Their processes happen behind closed doors. They've driven all the most vigilant citizen members off the board, namely John Malkin and Gia Grant and others. So they're something between a bad joke and a sort of a sad joke. I don't know what it is. Anyway, they have... We went into their office after receiving word that the Happy John Dine radio dispatch tape that we had received was going to be open for comparison with the actual tape that the police review board heard. Because our tape, which has the specifics, it's a tape supposedly of radio dispatch around the John Dine shooting on November 13th. That's when Happy John was shot by Officer Connor Carey at the corner of Soquel and Front Street in the early evening, for allegedly either reaching for, pointing, brandishing, maybe thinking of a toy gun. I'm making a joke about thinking of course. The original story from the police chief was he was pointing it. The story from the police review board was he was reaching for it. The story from the witnesses was he had nothing in his hand. He wasn't reaching for anything, as far as virtually every witness said. But hey, the police officers were closest, and so, according to the Police Review Board's January report, that's why they were believed, even though their stories were also wildly contradictory. Anyway, the police review tape on that, there was there's a police dispatch tape where you can hear radio transmissions between the officers concerned and headquarters. We were sent a copy of that tape, supposedly, but everything before the shooting was completely blank. We wrote a letter to the police chief saying, what's going on here? Santa Cruzans for Full Disclosure did, the organization investigating that situation. Police Chief Steve Belcher responded by saying, well, we don't know what you're talking about. We sent you the full uncensored tape, and we'll be happy to prove it by having it reviewed by Gary Yamane. And so we thought that, you know, he would be playing the full tape for us to compare. We went down there on Thursday morning, and he told us, oh, no, that's a secret tape. I can't play that. I haven't even got that tape. That's part of the personnel file of the police department. We can't play that, for heavens. No, no. So, but he did listen to our tape, and after listening for 15 seconds, he said, that's not the same tape I listened to. They've sent you a tape that has been erased or in some way changed. And he agreed that he would tell that to Police Chief Steve Belcher and request an official response. In other words, the tape being given out to the public was a censored tape or a doctored tape. You can actually hear the clicks where obviously some kind of erasing has happened, and you don't get to hear any conversations whatsoever between the two officers who are responsible for the death of Happy John Dine, specifically Officer Connor Carey, who shot him, and Officer Martin Over, who should have informed Officer Carey that Happy John Dine was no threat, but did not, or if he did, Officer Carey didn't answer, didn't respond to that, and we didn't know about it because the Police Review Board didn't investigate it. But this is all sort of old news. Very old news. On the other hand, since it hasn't been really publicized in broader quarters, perhaps it's news that we need to continue to consider, and hopefully we'll eventually get some kind of consideration. So we hope that there will be at least an official response from Police Chief Belcher about releasing the real tape, not the erased tape, that may be coming down the pike. And there's a very interesting story by John Malkin, who I mentioned earlier. He's a community activist around police matters. He was part of the Coalition for a Citizens Police Review Board, and then one of the first board members who finally resigned. And he explains why he resigned in this story in City on a Hill Press, which is in this week's City on a Hill Press. It came out on Thursday evening, and it's available different places around the east side. You can pick it up at, I think the Bagelry and the laundromats, and on the west side or downtown, you can get it at Logos Bookstore. So I recommend you look at City on a Hill Press and John Malkin's long description of his troubles with the police department and the Citizens Police Review Board, how they systematically tried to censor him, didn't support him, violated their own policies, and generally made a mockery of what was supposedly being created, an independent oversight body for the police department. Again, City on a Hill Press, John Malkin. It's in the Writings on the Wall section. A lot of interesting stuff in the last four issues of the Monterey County Herald. We also have an upcoming city council meeting, as I mentioned when the show began. That's happening on Tuesday, as it usually does, the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. The evening session is at 7, the afternoon session is at 3:30. And usually what I do when these council meetings happen is I turn to David Silva. Those of you who are regular listeners already know, Silva is a man who really knows lots about city council. He knows lots about how to smell the scent of money getting flushed down the drain that I often don't notice. I mean, I kind of look for specific homeless issues and civil rights issues, but certainly other issues impact that, because if all the money is going to some out-of-town developer, there's nothing left for the police review board, or a real police review board if they ever made one. There's nothing left for real homeless services. I don't just mean this phony community house project that is really the cause of the current consternation around the Karen Gillette brouhaha, which I'm going to be talking about later in the show and writing about as well. But city council, of course, is supposed to be our first line of democratic process, where we actually can have some real input into what goes on in our city, how our money is spent, how